Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's time for the Friendship Show. Join the conversation. Every week brings a full hour of real issues, stimulating discussion, and the chance to visit with old and new friends. Sponsored by Friendship Shelter, reaching out to rebuild lives for over 26 years, right here in Laguna Beach, California.
You're listening to The Friendship Show here on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. My name is Mark Miller. Dawn Price is here with us this morning. She's our co-host, and in the studio this morning, Corey Jorgensen, who is the fairly new president of the board of directors at Laguna Food Pantry, is here. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm just terrific. Glad to be here. I appreciate your invitation, and you, Dawn.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for having me come.
Always nice to see you, Corey. Daga Krakowizer is here.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Mark. Glad to be back.
Say that again, Daga. I'm not really hearing you.
Glad to be back.
In your presence.
All right. I think we're going to move Daga. Daga, will you scoot over next to Corey there? Oh, I'm not getting anything on your microphone right now.
Oh. Okay. Good morning, Mark.
There you are.
Glad to be back.
Daga's here. You're here representing the Interfaith Council this morning, aren't you?
I am, but before I was representing the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, remember?
Oh, absolutely.
With Reverend Ken Doss.
Well, let's face it.
Years ago.
Let's face it. You represent a lot of things. We're just clarifying what you're representing this morning, right?
We could have Daga every week.
No, it's not working.
All right. Also with us this morning is Barbara McMurray. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Barbara McMurray involved in pretty much everything good going around town.
And a few bad things, too.
And a few bad things. And on the weekends, maybe a couple bad things.
You know, Mark, I'm sitting here looking at these three people, and I really think we could do this show every week with the three of them, and they could just wear different hats of all the things they do in
Absolutely.
Our community.
Absolutely. What do you want to talk about this morning?
Exactly.
Have them in. Barbara, before we get started, I know one of the many things that you're involved in is a charity that is directly connected to helping children in Nepal.
That's correct.
And this is obviously a very difficult time for all people in Nepal.
I am glued to my email because I'm getting daily dispatches from Chris Casey, who's a friend of ours from Laguna. And she is there at the orphanage that she founded. It's called Chahari, one of the few words that has a double H. CHAHARI.org is their website. The report from Nepal is really pretty dire. Thank God she was there because she is taking care of the 23 children in her charge at this orphanage. There's a couple that lives there, and their two children are part of the mix there. But they do a good job, but I'm really glad that Chris is there to oversee everything. The kids have had cholera medications, and there was a nurse who is a friend of from Germany, a friend of Chahari, who came and administered the first round of cholera meds last week. And there was a follow-up inoculation that they had to have. And the nurse was not able to get back to Chahari. So Chris had to figure out how to administer meds by needle to all these children. And she had the older kids helping her. It's really sort of, you know, it's sort of bootstrapping over there.
Whatever it takes, that's what we like.
Whatever it takes. But all the children in the orphanage are bearing up well. Chris is very, very good at reaching out to other organizations and other families. And she knows who's who in Kathmandu. Oh, that rhymes. And she takes care of a lot of different groups and other orphanages. When she shares the bounty that she gets, and she's very, very careful with her rupees. So any donations that are made are absolutely going to alleviate people's suffering, and there's a lot of suffering right now.
That's absolutely correct. So how can anyone who's listening help these children and other people in Nepal through this difficult time?
Well, anyone who's listening who would like to make a donation, of course, you can, of course, donate to the big organizations like Oxfam and Red Cross and the big organizations. But a donation to Chahari will directly help the children at the at our orphanage and the, their friends and neighbors directly in Kathmandu. And the thing to do is to go to the Chahari webpage, chahahari.org, and make a donation. You can also mail or drop by a check at Tom Davis's office, his law office at, I believe it's 580 Broadway, that big building right by the entrance to town.
Oh,
he's
great.
On the second floor. You can find his address on the website as well. And Tom, everybody knows Tom. He's another one of those people that you could have on every week because he's involved in so many things. He helped Chris Casey set up the nonprofit status a couple of years ago. And he is he's the president of that board, and he is really, really good at, you know, leadership and helping us figure out what to do next.
Great. So if you go to the Chahari website.
Chahari website.
And if you can't find that, stop Tom Davis and give him some money.
Give him some money.
And he'll make sure it gets to the right place.
He will. He will take it right down to the bank. There's even a bank account, and I don't have the information for that.
But. That's all right. That's all right. We sort of surprised you with that.
We can make an offer that if you just send an email to Friendship Shelter, office@friendshipshelter.org, we'll get you to the right information for that.
Absolutely.
That's
good
really
idea.
Important.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, good idea. We'll help facilitate that any way that we can. All right. Corey Jorgensen, you're the fairly newly elected chairman of the board of directors at Laguna Food Pantry. What are your responsibilities over there? What are you doing with that organization?
Well, I am fairly new. I took the place of Andy Siegenfeld, who's been a board member for a very long time.
Another old friend of the show.
A really important guy. I think you can see why we value our relationship with Barbara so much. She brings as much passion to the pantry as she does to Nepal. So thank you, Barbara. Well, what do? I run board meetings, and that was really the reason I was elected to the position, because I can run a pretty efficient meeting and get it over with in the hour that we have allotted.
I am very important quality in a board chair.
Yeah. And I'm thrilled to be associated with the pantry and to be the president this year. And the reason I like the pantry so much is we do a great job of providing food to poor people. We serve around 60 or 70 families a day. Over a ton of food goes out the door every day that we're open to hungry families that live in Orange County, many of whom live here in Laguna Beach. So it's a terrific organization that does a great job. Do you know where we're located?
I do know where you're located because you're located right next door to a program that's very important to me, and that's the alternative sleeping location. We're neighbors out there.
We are out there near the dog park. Our relationship with the alternative sleeping location has been a long one. We provide some food for the folks that stay at the alternative sleeping location. I think that the ALS is a terrific resource for low-income homeless people. We serve low-income anybody, including people with homes.
Corey, I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. So when you say you provide some food to the ASL, let's qualify this for just a second. It's not some food. We wouldn't be able to serve breakfast 7 days a week if it weren't for the food pantry and what you do there. You provide at least breakfast every morning. I know that we've gotten a refrigerator from you.
Yes.
And we keep that refrigerator stocked during the day with food that we get from the food pantry. And I would be hard-pressed to try and guess how that flows to the bottom line and the amount of money that is saved based on our ability to work for the food pantry.
Well, the food, as you're making that point, Mark, it's the food pantry and the Interfaith Council, because the Interfaith Council does the evening meals. Most of the evening meals are done through our faith communities. There are some exceptions to that. But between the food pantry coming in with morning and then snacks and then the evening meal provided largely by our faith communities, we literally could not operate that program. So the food pantry is integral to us.
And that's Doug Krekeweiser over there at Interfaith Council. And that's true. Evening meals have been going on for 5 years.
Never missed a night.
I think, Daga.
Never missed a night.
I think that's right. I think one time we were close to, or there was fear that we were going to miss a night, and then someone at the Interfaith Council got on the phone and said, "Wait, I've got to get some pizzas out to the alternative sleeping location. They don't have anything to eat, and whatever that costs, just let me know how many pizzas they need out there for dinner." So
yeah, we always come up to the plate when the ASL is in need.
We greatly appreciate that.
You know, the other way we collaborate so wonderfully with the food pantry, though, is that after we are able to help our clients in any of our programs, take that first step into housing, it's very hard to make ends meet. And organizations like the food pantry really fill the gap for them to be able to continue to afford their housing and make their first ways back to self-sufficiency.
Absolutely. Corey, when you say 60 to 70 families a day, I think it's hard for people to imagine that here in affluent Southern Orange County, particularly in Laguna Beach, that there are people who are not able to put dinner on their table.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is hard for people to imagine that. Not all of our shoppers are from Laguna Beach, but a substantial portion are. And I would draw your attention to my experience at the Laguna Beach Community Clinic, where people are also surprised to find out there are folks in Laguna Beach who can't afford care. Fact is, we've got a lot of people working or living here in Laguna Beach without the funds to provide what most of us would consider basic needs, such as shelter, that's why we have the ALS, food, why we have the pantry, and medical care. Why we have the clinic.
Absolutely. For people who, if there's anyone in Laguna Beach who's not aware, you were a physician at Laguna Beach Clinic for 30 years, 40 years?
Since 1942.
Yeah,
1972. So it's been, yeah, it's been 42 years. It's been a wonderful experience for me. I've loved every minute of it.
And you've just recently left that position to focus your time and energy at the food pantry.
I have. I retired in December. I continue to collaborate with the staff and with the medical director on issues having to do with operation of the clinic and the programs that we have there. And I continue to give them money, but I'm no longer seeing patients there.
All right. Corey, when you talk about there are definitely people in our community who don't have some very basic needs, food, shelter, medical care, what's missing? What's your hope? What would you like to see happen for those people?
Well, I like the way that the medical needs are being provided for, and there have been improvements in the healthcare system that I think have made that a little bit fairer. I'm also happy with production with the supply of food that the pantry makes available through the very generous support of the community. I'd like to see a better approach to folks that are homeless. And I know there has been talk nationally about getting folks into housing, whether they're clean and sober or not, whether they're mentally healthy or not. Get them into housing so we can get them off the streets, get them off the beaches, and help them get back to a productive life. So I'd like to see that amplified. I know the ALS does a great job, and you provide services through the Friendship Shelter when possible, but I'd like to see some solution for permanent supportive housing for these folks.
Dawn Price, he's talking about a concept that you're very familiar with. Do you want to talk about what that concept is?
It's permanent supportive housing. It's the opportunity to place someone in a home and then worry about their problems rather than make them earn their housing. Just this week, and I'm so glad you brought this up, Corey, that just this week in the Washington Post, and maybe we can link to it on our Facebook page, Mark, there was a fantastic article about the person who first tried housing first, first tried placing people in homes before dealing with their underlying issues, and how that became the national best practice. And it's a wonderful article that doesn't just profile this individual, but also talks about why this is the way we're solving homelessness. Utah has completely solved chronic homelessness. New Orleans and Phoenix have solved veteran homelessness. It's not just a good idea. It works, and it's changing the face of homeless services nationally.
Absolutely. More and more every week hear cities saying, we've tried it, we've done it, and it's making a tremendous difference in our community.
And we're very passionate about it at Friendship Shelter. We're in a planning mode right now. We're working with a consultant on our strategic plan. And the most electricity in the room when we're doing this planning is around this idea of permanently ending homelessness.
And I would just point out, not only for those of us who believe that this is the compassionate response to people who are living in that sort of situation, that's great. But every community is also saying that this is saving them millions of dollars every year.
Yeah, it's pennies on the dollar in terms of what it costs compared to what our status quo costs in terms of homeless services. So there are lots of ways to come to the solution, whether it's a financial approach or a public services approach or a compassion approach or a combination of all three, which is, I think, is how most people come to it. But thank you, Corey, for bringing it up. It's really, really critical.
It's an important issue.
Yeah. And we're doing some of that. We have 21 scattered site apartments now across Southern Orange County that are permanent supportive housing that were filled with a housing first approach. We'll have 14 more this fall. Those will be dedicated to transitional age youth.
Do you want to make that big announcement quick? Because it's final now. We can start talking about it.
Yeah, we can start talking. We just received $3.4 million from the state of California to renovate the two apartment buildings and then operate for the next 20 years. That's a 20-year operating agreement.
Now, to qualify that, we've got to stretch that
$3
million.
It's not like there's $3.4 million in the bank, but over 20 years, we'll be able to help these folks stay in permanent housing. 18 to 25-year-olds, probably mostly coming out of the foster care system, all with a persistent mental health issue, all with a history of homelessness.
But even at a state level, I would say this. It's $3.4 million, but it's committed for 20 years.
Right.
At a state level, they are so convinced that this is the right approach that they've made a 20-year commitment to that program.
So that'll be 18 more. And then, of course, we are working. We should have a whole show on our collaboration with a couple of other agencies that will bring 106 additional units of permanent supportive housing to Orange County.
For chronically homeless individuals.
For chronically homeless individuals.
106 people.
Yeah.
I think when they talk about the point in time count, I believe the number that they sort of use is there's about 700 to 800 chronically homeless people in Orange County.
Right.
By this time next year, we're going to take 100 of them off of the street
off
and
the
give
streets.
Them a home.
And that's the other thing. Take them off the streets.
Absolutely.
And that improves everyone's quality of life.
Okay, we're going to take a quick music break. There's big things going on at the pantry. The Doug is involved with that at Interfaith Council, and Barbara Murray is the one who holds all the knowledge. So let's take a quick music break, and when we get back, we'll find out more about what that big event is. You're listening to Friendship Show here on KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. Welcome back. You're listening to The Friendship Show here on KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. My name is Mark Miller. I'm your host this morning. This 60 minutes of community-supported radio, sponsored by Friendship Shelter, reaching out to rebuild lives for more than 26 years, right here in Laguna Beach, California. Dawn Price is my co-host. She's here this morning. It's Beach Cleanup Day here on Pearl Street Beach. We've had people coming in all morning to pick up their supplies and get down to the beach. So if you want to participate in that, come right down to the station. We're at 1833 South Coast Highway, suite number 200. We'll hook you up with everything that you need. You can go down and spend the morning at the beach, help the community while you're doing that. Here in the studio, we've been talking with Corey Jorgensen. He is the president of the board of directors at Laguna Beach Food Pantry. Also with us is Doug Krakowizer, who is sort of the pinch hitter these days at the Interfaith Council, stepping in for Elizabeth Rector when she's not available. Always great to have Daga around. Partly because, Daga, the first thing you did when you came in this morning was you started handing out money. What was that all about?
To me.
Well, it's just one of the things we do in the Interfaith Council. We've been conducting for the past 8 years a prayer breakfast, which Laguna Beach did not have 8 years ago, and we decided that we would start an annual prayer breakfast, so we did. And each year we pick a group that we give an award to, and this year it happened to be the Laguna Beach Community Clinic.
Here, here.
Collect money, and that's why I gave Corey this money this morning, so I was very happy to be able to do that.
Corey, do you want to do some donor recognition quickly?
I do, and the first off, I want to thank Daga for her work. Over and over again has been helpful to organizations that are important to me, and this envelope of cash and checks is going to go into the Laguna Beach Community Clinic's bank account tomorrow, I should say Monday, to support the work that we do. But I wanted to review just a couple of pieces of information that came to me from the food pantry. I get a weekly report, and here's some information I found really cool. Where do we get money? Well, the fifth graders at Top of the World gave us 2,700 pounds of food, all from a food drive. The Brownie Troop raised $500. Kindness and Compassion Club, Ebel Club, and the Marine Room Tavern is going to be assisting us to put on a fundraiser called the Pantry Palooza. That'll be June 19th from 5:30 to 8. The tickets are $45. You can get them online, like I got mine. And you can get food and drink at the Marine Room on that evening. So our funding comes from many, many sources. This is just the information I got this week. It comes from donors like those of us sitting in this room. It comes from the grocery stores here in this town and nearby, and from other charity-minded organizations. So a collective thank you to all of those who I did not mention and all of those who I did. Thank you on behalf of the hungry people of Southern Orange County.
Pantry Palooza. Barbara McMurray, you're a marketing and communications specialist who has a reputation of getting things done. Pantry Palooza, to me, that has your fingerprints all over it. Am I right?
I did think of the Pantry Palooza in a fit of caffeine, I think. Pantry Palooza is something that my cohort on the board of the pantry, Elizabeth Haynes, we are cooking that up together. It's Friday, June 19th. That's the day after graduation for those of you parents who will be thinking about that weekend. I know it's a busy weekend, but what this really is like, can I say kick-ass? Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, my word.
Am I allowed to say that on the radio? It's going to be a kick-ass.
I don't know.
Happy
we'll
hour.
Find out shortly.
Tyler's down on the beach. We probably
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Oh, I can say other things, too, then.
No.
Well, from 5:30 to 8 o'clock on Friday, June 19th, the Blues Offenders, which is a Laguna favorite, are going to play a benefit concert at the Marine Room.
Are you kidding?
Doesn't that sound fun?
Yeah, the Blues Offenders are awesome.
They are. What a great bunch of guys. They really, you know, when you talk about true Lagunatics and people who have, you know, the community in mind, those guys offered to do a benefit concert. We finally landed on this date when everybody was in town. And it's going to be at the Marine Room Tavern, which has been recently remodeled. Have you been in there, Mark?
I have not been in there.
Oh, good. That's probably why you haven't been in the jail either, huh?
Well, I don't know if the Marine Room wants to make that correlation, but...
Well, I will. But tickets in advance are $45. If we have any tickets at the door, they'll be $50. But I recommend that you get your tickets in advance. Guests have to be 21 and older because of the liquor component. And guess who's doing the food?
Who?
La Serena Grill.
Oh, are they really?
Yes.
Wow, yeah.
You'll get to build your own taco and get some rice and beans. And it's a no-host bar, so you can have whatever you want to drink. And the bar people, the experienced bar artists, will be developing a drink that will be a drink, I don't know if you know this, Corey, a cocktail that will always be available at the Marine Room Tavern. They'll be introducing it that night, and sales from this specialty cocktail will, $1 from the sale of each of these beverages, which I think will probably be very delicious, will go to the pantry.
I did not know that. How cool.
Isn't that
forever?
Cool? In perpetuity.
Forever?
Forever.
Will it be called the Food Pantry Cocktail?
Oh, it'll have a better name than that. It'll have a very, marketing-ese name. Let's see. I think I covered all my bases. The I wanted to give you the website. If you want to buy your ticket now, just do
Absolutely.
It now. It's Pantrypalooza, and Palooza is spelled the way you would think, P-A-L-O-O-Z-A. Pantrypalooza at brownpapertickets.com.
That's interesting. What's that?
That is a really easy way to sell tickets online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, it's pretty cool. It's kind of, you know, if you're having a grassroots event like we are, it's a really easy way to sell tickets, and it's very clean. People get they can either print out their own ticket or get it on their phone, and they show up at the door, and you scan it. Very modern.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Aren't you the marketing consultant?
Well, you know, Elizabeth Haynes researched all this, and she's my partner in crime on this, and it's going to be fun.
That's a good deal. I would just point out the Marine Room, that, of course, is Chris Keller, another person always looking
very
for
generous,
ways.
Community-minded person, yeah. And he immediately said yes and said he would make it work. And there is a band, after the Blues Offenders finish, people are encouraged to stay and party the night away because there's another band at 9 o'clock. I don't know who, but you know, you're encouraged to hang out and you know, patronize the Marine Room Tavern.
They'll get someone.
And do you know what about the Marine Room Tavern? They got the second liquor license in all of Orange County after Prohibition. They've been around 81 years.
That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't.
So Pantrypalooza, Friday, June 19th. Don't miss it.
All right.
Don't wait to get your tickets because I think we're going to sell out, and we don't want to turn people away at the door. So get your tickets now if you want to go to
what
that.
What is the sellout? How many people can you have?
Well,
what do you think?
I hope no one at the fire department is listening, but
Oops.
You know, but we're going to sell 100 tickets online first and then see how it goes from there.
Right.
So if you snag one of those 100 tickets, you're in.
You're in
like
for sure.
Splint. Absolutely.
And then after that, you may have to stand in the back of the room.
You may.
Or out on the street.
You may.
All right.
Don't let it happen to you.
Absolutely. I won't. I absolutely will not. Corey, you said tons of food. How much food goes out of the food pantry every year, every month, every week?
Well,
do you know?
Every day, 2,600 pounds goes out the door, all going to feed hungry families. So we see 60 or 70 families a day, four people in a family. That's a lot of people. Around 300 people a week get fed because of the pantry.
That is a lot. 2,600 pounds a day?
Yeah.
What kind of food is available at the pantry for people who need it?
We have a lot of different kinds of food, including fresh fruits and vegetables. The biggest, most in-demand foods are tuna fish, peanut butter, and breakfast cereal. And but we also have milk products, frozen products. Peanut butter pairs well with jelly, so yes, they do like jelly. And pasta sauce. Those are the biggies. Tuna, peanut butter, jelly, pasta, pasta sauce, and cereal.
Those are the big need items?
Those are the big
We call
big
that
items.
Our big six.
The big six?
The big six items that we always need to have on hand.
Now, you're one of the few organizations, if I'm correct, you're one of the few organizations that's allowed to buy federal food to have available in your pantry. Am I right about that?
Yes, that is correct.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Barbara, are you in on that deal?
Well, if Bill Baden were here, he could tell us all the details. But I do know that we can purchase food at Second Harvest, which is a food bank. We're a food pantry, which is kind of a retail concept. And actually, when you walk in, it's like a store. And it's a very, very warm feeling you get when you walk in there. And, you know, you get to take one from this shelf, two from that basket, things like that. And a lot of that food does come from Second Harvest, which is a food bank
right.
where people cannot go and just get food. We go there and purchase bulk food.
Right. And isn't the concept that there's this system to get warehouses full of food go through Second Harvest, but then that food has to get distributed
Correct.
To those local retailers.
Correct.
Who are making sure that that food is making it to the
communities.
And that's
carefully regulated, and there are all kinds of rules around that, which I'm not privy to. But we, Bill and his volunteers do a really good job of managing the flow, the logistics, which is very, very complicated. We have a couple of storage units now in the canyon where we store extra non-perishable food items.
Oh, do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my
that's
goodness.
Part of, you know, and that's part of our overhead too. We have to pay the rent on those storage units, and Bill goes there daily. You know, there's food in and out of those storage units every day.
I just think that's so critical. I think that's a point people don't realize about all of our, we're talking about several organizations today, and all of us face this issue in South County in Human Services of access to things that are much more accessible to poor people who live in the northern part of the county. And the food pantry does such a good service in bringing that access close by. If I'm a poor family with a not very well-running car and maybe a not a real modern car, it's going to take me a lot of gas money. It's going to risk my car breaking down and stopping my livelihood if I have to drive to Santa Ana to access food. So by doing this, you're really keeping that infrastructure for that family much more intact.
That's a good point. We are open from 8 to 10:30 every day,
Monday through Friday.
Right.
Monday through Friday, 8 to 10:30?
8 to 10:30.
All right. There is a big day coming up. As a matter of fact, I believe it's called Big Saturday. The Interfaith Council is helping with this. It's going to directly benefit the food pantry, which will in turn benefit people in need in Laguna Beach and Orange County. What I want to do is take a quick music break if we can. And when we get back, can we talk about this event that's coming up?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Everyone's nodding their head. So I'm going to take that as an okay.
Great radio.
What am I doing?
We've been talking with Corey Jorgensen of the Food Pantry, Daga Krakowizer from Interfaith Council. Barbara McMurray is here. Dawn Price. This is the Friendship Show. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Feel like an old hobo on the sad, lonesome and blue. I was fair as a summer day. Now the summer days are through. You pass through places. Places pass through you, but you carry them with you on the soles of your traveling shoes. Well, I love you so dearly, I love you so clearly. I'll wake you up in the morning so early just to tell you I got the wandering blues. I got the wandering blues, and I'm gonna quit these rambling ways one of these days soon. And I sing the littlest birds sing the prettiest songs. The littlest birds sing the prettiest songs. The littlest birds sing the prettiest songs. The littlest birds sing the prettiest songs.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Friendship Show here on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. This 60 minutes of community-supported radio is sponsored by Friendship Shelter, reaching out to rebuild lives for more than 26 years right here in Laguna Beach. My co-host this morning happens to be the executive director of that fine organization. Miss Dawn Price is here.
Hello.
We've been talking with Corey Jorgensen of the Food Pantry, Doug Krakowizer from Interfaith Council is here, and Barbara McMurray, one of those get-it-done kind of people who's involved in everything good around Laguna Beach and a few bad things. There's a big event coming up next Saturday, Barbara. I believe it's called Big Saturday. It's to benefit the food pantry. What's the event? How does it work?
Well, Big Saturday, this is Daga's thing, but the Interfaith Council has been stationing volunteers outside the four grocery stores around town and just kind of buttonholing shoppers as they go in and politely asking them if they would consider throwing some extra items of our big six needed pantry items into their carts and purchase them and put them in our donation box on the way out.
So this is a shopping day that's coming up?
It's a shopping day.
And what is buttonholing? Is that allowed?
Yes. Yes, it's what we do.
Oh.
We grab people. We just, you know.
Is that in the mission statement?
Well, you don't have a sign out in front of your house that says no buttonholing, but it's soliciting.
Ah,
it's,
that's
we ask,
what it is.
We gently, kindly ask people to be generous when they're in the grocery store.
It's sort of much like Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts might do. You're in front of a grocery store. You have a good cause that you're trying to raise money for.
And just as cute, because you've got Daga and all of her volunteers, all the good people from the Interfaith Council standing there requesting your generosity.
Okay.
That costs you very little.
Okay,
you, you
so
know,
this is...
$5 or $10.
So the idea is that people are going to be, and they're obviously doing some grocery shopping, and you're asking that they buy a couple of things maybe from your big six
Yeah, get a
list.
Jar of peanut butter and some tuna and throw it in on the way out.
Throw it in your basket on the way out.
Yep.
Four grocery stores. Who are the four grocery stores?
The four grocery stores are, jump in here, Daga. I believe we've got Hagen, which used to be Albertsons, right?
Right. We have Ralph's, and we have Pavilions, and I believe we have, I'm going to call it Good Earth.
Whole Foods. Whole I'm Foods? Not sure. I don't believe they're participating.
Okay, those were the three major ones, though. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. three major stores.
Okay, tell me again. So Hagen's, is that how you
Hagen's.
Say that? Hagen's.
Hagen's.
I haven't been in there. Is it good?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Okay,
wonderful.
So Hagen's is participating. That's nice
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, all fresh, organic, and that's one of the ones. That's Pavilions.
Oh, Pavilions.
We've been asking.
Buttonholing. Well, I'll tell you a quick story about Pavilions. When I used to work at a youth shelter, Pavilions was always great to us. And one time they called me up and they said, our freezer's just broke and we've got some shrimp that we have to get out of here as fast as we possibly can. Would you like to come pick it up for the youth shelter? And I mm-hmm. said, oh, absolutely. That would be a great barbecue night for us. So they said, okay, well, come and get it. Four cartloads later.
Oh, some people never want to look at shrimp again.
We had a shrimp barbecue every weekend for like 2.5 years. It was a great deal. So it's great to hear that Pavilions is part of that. And who's the third one?
And Ralph's.
Ralph's, of course.
And Ralph's, yeah. Those are our major stores that we're always at every year. And did you want to go on with the rest of that, Barbara?
You know, we can talk about what the kids did, too, but I want to finish with what you're doing next Saturday and how we could use a couple of extra volunteers, no?
We can always use a couple of extra volunteers. It's 2-hour shifts, and Sally Barron is actually our coordinator, and her...
I have it.
You have it?
Yeah. You can call her at 497-2343. And she is coordinating. She would have been here today, but she's off doing good works.
She's doing the AIDS walk.
Of course she is.
Yeah,
but you can call Sally if you want to do a 2-hour shift with a friend, with your family, with your kids.
Right.
It's a really nice thing to do, you know, to pair up with someone from the Interfaith Council and just stand there and show your kids what it's like to help.
It's a great experience, I have mm-hmm. to tell you, because you have to also acknowledge those people that ignore you, who walk right by and say, well, I'm in too much of a hurry. But I'm always amazed at how much we do collect every year. We've been doing this for quite some time now at the Interfaith Council. And let me just tell you a little bit first about the Interfaith Council. Those of you who are listening and don't know that Laguna Beach has had an Interfaith Council for many, many years. We were first called the Ecumenical Council way, way back when we were part of all of the organizations that are in Laguna, and there are many of them. And then we broke off and started meeting on our own, and it was called the Interfaith Council, Laguna Beach Interfaith Council. That was about 2003. Right about then, we had always been giving to the resource center, which is now called the food pantry. The churches, there are 8 of us churches here in town who are part of the Interfaith Council, and our mission is to feed the poor, the sick, and the disenfranchised. And so that
I didn't realize that, Daga. That's the mission of the Interfaith Council?
That's our mission. We have a mission statement.
And for people who may not understand, the Interfaith Council is churches of all faiths coming together to energize and do good around a single goal.
That's our purpose, and so it fits very well with a lot of the things that go on in Laguna Beach right now. And we were asked, for instance, to be on the first task force and the second task force that the city put together for the homeless, and out of that came, of course, the ASL and the future that we're looking towards for permanent supportive housing, as has been mentioned before.
Well, again, Doggett, for people who may not know, now we've been talking about permanent supportive housing a lot the last few years.
Correct.
But that task force that you were a part of made that recommendation. How long ago did you come up with that idea?
That was in 2007, the first task force, and there were 15 recommendations, and I have to say that the city has certainly come a long way in providing almost all of those recommendations. And our final one, as I say, we're still looking forward to that permanent supportive housing that Corey's brought up. Thank you very much for bringing that up, Corey.
Indeed.
So as far as the other things that we do is we have every year had an annual Thanksgiving service. The Interfaith found that one-third service that we can all take a part of, no matter what faith you belong to, is a Thanksgiving service. At that service, we collect money for, as well as goods, for the food pantry. That's one of our big drives, besides the food pantry that we're talking of drive that we're talking about right now in our current in our stores. And then every month for years, one church was assigned to give food to the food pantry. So that went on for many, many years. And then in 2009, we had a lady by the name of Sandy Hart who started an organization called Sarah. And she wanted us to belong to the Big Sunday effort that was, as Barbara has mentioned, is not only nationwide, but it's gone global now. And so for 2 days, the Saturday and a Sunday set aside, we would sit outside the stores. But it was a big effort and took a lot of organization to work with the Big Sunday people. So we've since 2012, it may be now, that we decided that we weren't going to join with the Big Sunday. We'd call it Big Sunday, but we were not giving anything to Big Sunday's efforts. We keep it right here in Laguna Beach all the time. So that's how that came about. And now we're cutting back to just one day, calling it Big Saturday, but we're still very involved in that effort.
One Big Saturday.
One Big Saturday.
Is there a goal in mind, Barbara? Is there something that you need that you want to get to out of this event?
Well, last year, the Interfaith Council collected 2,500 pounds of food over the weekend and $1,000 in donations. We certainly take money. And I think, you know, it's all gravy. It's all good. We have, you know, 2,500 pounds of food is what goes out the door at the pantry every day.
That's one day covered
so,
right there.
Yeah, we need to, you know, we just have to keep the flowing through the pipeline.
And that's good for people to know that if you walk by and you're not going grocery shopping, you can drop some money in the bag,
you
too.
You can do that. And we also, most people, this didn't really catch on, but maybe somebody who has a QR reader, a quick read reader app on their phone, you can scan our QR code and it takes you directly to our website and you can make an instant donation online.
You have gotten so sophisticated over there.
Oh, that's me. Right on the cutting edge.
That is totally you doing that.
At a higher level.
You just go on your phone and you can make a donation to the food pantry?
Yeah, it's right there. It's that little squiggly, you know, you see those squares that have all the black squiggles.
No, I've never seen anything like that. What is this black magic you use? I've never heard of it.
It's all for the good.
That's fantastic.
It's using the force for good.
I would just like to say, I'm now, now that the interview is over, I'm looking at your flyer. And I have to say that if nothing else, at the bottom of this flyer, good karma and blessings are guaranteed for anyone who volunteers for this event.
Yes, guaranteed. Absolutely.
That in and of itself makes it well worth your time.
You know, I also, could I take a minute to acknowledge some of the kids at Top of the World Elementary?
Absolutely. We love those.
They're fabulous. You know, when my kids graduated, got promoted from fifth grade out of TOW when they were going to Thurston Middle School, we had a pool party and we gave them embroidered towels and we just couldn't throw enough stuff at them that they never used again. But I found out that this year the kids who are being promoted out of the fifth grade decided with parental help that they would hold a do a service project for the community. So last weekend, they were stationed at some of the stores. People may have seen them and given some of our Big Six items to them, but they collected 2,700 pounds of food last weekend.
Thank you very much, Top of the World.
Isn't that so nice of them?
That is very
And also,
nice.
I want to say Patty Rabin, who's a teacher at Top of the World also, she started a Kindness and Compassion Club, which Corey mentioned earlier. And that's third and fourth graders who, you know, God bless Patty, because the KC Club, as she calls it, focuses on simple, deliberate acts of kindness that positively impact the recipient and the giver. So what? There's nothing wrong with that.
There should be one in every school.
The kids organized a coin drive, and they threw their extra change in. They collected $140.17 and 25 boxes of cereal. When they heard we needed cereal, they collected oatmeal and boxed cereal for us.
That's fantastic.
So that's very kind and compassionate.
All
Bingo.
Right. My friends, as always happens on this show, we run out of time long before we run out of things to talk about. So the good thing about that is it means you can all come back and talk some more on another day. Yes? Agreed?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Before we go, this big Saturday is coming up next Saturday, May 16th, from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. in front of your local grocery store. We need volunteers to be there to accept food and donations from people who are shopping. Sally Barron is the person to contact.
Call Sally Barron.
Yeah, she doesn't get near enough phone calls, so let's give her cell phone number one more time.
Sally Barron's number is 497-2343.
There you have it. All right. You've been listening to The Friendship Show here on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. Ida May, Radio Neighboring, is up next. She's been out of town, but she's back. She's full of fire, and she'll be here right after this.
Thank you for tuning in to The Friendship Show. Join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. for a full hour of real issues, stimulating discussion, and the chance to visit with old and new friends right here on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM.